Hi everyone, I'm Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. Welcome to our first podcast on October 3rd, 2008. Today's guest is Mark Cotterelli, who just wrote a blog entry on our site profiling the real estate climate in Loretto. I personally known Mark for several years. Actually, on our first encounter, he tried to convince me to buy a home in Loretto, actually both Clint and I, and we've been glad ever since that he did. So it should be an interesting discussion today. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Hey, Lonnie. How you doing? Hi, everybody.
Great. Just for our viewers, or actually listeners, can you tell us a little about yourself and how you're actually involved in the Baja and Loretto region?
Sure. About 3 years ago, I had sold our family business, which was the automobile business. It was a dealership. And thank goodness, with what's happening now in the auto business, that we're not in that anymore. And my wife and I had a home, a condominium, down in Cabo San Lucas. And we loved the Baja. We loved it in Cabo. After having been going there since about 2000, I believe it was, at that time we had been going to Baja for about 5 years. We started exploring the southern end of Baja, which is the most interesting end as far as I'm concerned, and came across this little town about 300 miles north of Cabo, about 320 actually, and called Loretto. And it had these beautiful mountains and just a lovely picturesque setting, hugging along the Sea of Cortez. And there's a couple things that we found interesting about the place. Number one, it had an airport, which was very important to us. Number two, it had water, which is also very important, and infrastructure, you know, water, power, all those things. And thirdly, it had a nice calm sea that our kids could swim in, which we don't have in Cabo. Our place there is sort of treacherous to swim. So that's the things we liked about it, and that's how we ended up getting involved.
Great. So now you're doing more than just visiting Baja and Loretto. I mean, you're also involved there both from the Loretto Bay development previously and now with JW Marriott, correct?
Right, right. What happened was this is back in 2005, we thought, well, shoot, this little town is you know, it's on the government's, it's one of the government's five resort areas that they want to develop. And we thought, mm-hmm. geez, this is going to go like crazy someday, you know, in terms of value and in terms of visitorship. So we decided it would be a good investment to buy there. So we kind of had a place still in Cabo, which was a sort of fast-paced, very busy environment, a party place, if you will. And then we wanted to have a place in a little more slower, more traditional Mexican seaside village, and that's why we bought at Loretto Bay. And after having bought there, about 3 months later, I subsequently ended up going to work for the company, and that's how I met you all.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you've been part of the Loretto Bay development from the beginning and now with JW Marriott. Have you seen changes in the Loretto area comparable to Cabo, or would you say that the development has been different in Loretto?
Actually, thankfully, no. I think that part of the appeal of Loretto and I assume that a lot of people listening to this are either homeowners or visitors there. Part of the appeal is that it is not Cabo, that it's quaint and quieter and sort of, you know, better planned. Loretto, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the Loretto area has a huge master plan, not only the Loretto Bay community, but a master plan that extends way beyond that, and it is a master plan for the entire Loretto municipality, for the whole area. And so it not only is Loretto Bay doing a good job of keeping it sort of low rise, you know, no high rises on the beach type of thing, no Cancun-ish look to it, low rise traditional Mexican architecture, but it's required that other developments in the area do the same. So that's very, very appealing. So I don't think it'll ever be like a Cabo or a Cancun, which is great. That's the whole idea.
That's fantastic. I actually wasn't aware that Loretto had strict regulations on what type of developments can go in the area. I guess the Mexican government has definitely taken a different approach to this development of this area than the Cabo area.
Right, right. The Federal Office of National Tourism, better known as FONATUR, I'm sure many people have seen the signs around town, They are the arm of the federal government that controls that whole process. And they have seen the mistakes made. And I've talked to some of the Fauna Tour people. We've had them down at some of the events. And they said, hey, we understand. People don't like high rises next to a home, next to a tin shack, next to a cardboard box, next to an empty lot. I mean, they like some better planning. So they decided to take Loretto, and because it was sort of a clean slate, and just do it better and not allow this sort of mishmash of planning, and make it so that there are neighborhood areas and there are commercial areas, and so that the plan sort of makes more sense. Give it a theme. I'm sure people know about Santa Fe, for example. Santa Fe, you can't build a McDonald's with golden arches. You have to build it to look like the rest of the building codes in Santa Fe. So I think it's much like that they want to keep that traditional Mexican feel to it, which is great.
I think it's also smart. I think with the whole sort of social responsibility and green themes that seem to be permeating the U.S. and also worldwide, just awareness of our connection to the ecosystem has really made sort of these developments sort of much more in line with what society is doing overall in terms of conservation, in terms of being environmentally friendly.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people like that. I mean, we all want our little second home in paradise, but we feel better about it if it's a second home that's been built in an environmentally responsible way, if it observes, green building codes, if the infrastructure that surrounds it is responsible. For example, watering with saline water for the golf course and using brackish water for, outside irrigation, that kind of thing. People like that, and they feel good about investing in a place like that. And those same principles are used at Loretto Bay, they're used at JW Marriott, where I'm working now, and they're used at the Via Group and other places that are developing down there.
Perfect. Speaking of JW Marriott, I know you just forwarded a master plan of that area. I'm so sure our readers will love to get access to that, so we'll make sure that it's posted for them as well. But wanted to sort of go over the JW Marriott development in more detail. Can you tell us a little more about that? I know most of our viewership knows quite a bit about the Loretto Bay development. So can you give me some background on the JW Marriott development?
Sure. I'm going to give you some, and this is kind of interesting because I feel a little funny about it because JW Marriott has not even put out their initial press release about this yet. So, in fact, we're announcing it before they do, which I'm not sure how politically smart that is. But anyway, the listeners will like it. So there's a couple of just a few sites inside Loretto Bay's property lines, that 8,000-acre sort of rectangular piece, that are not owned by the Loretto Bay Company. And there's a few home sites, a few commercial sites, and there's a rather large site, a 12-acre site, where the Whales Inn used to be. And so anybody familiar with the property down there knows that the Camino Real, which is now the Inn at Loretto Bay, was on the southernmost tip of the property, and it's still there. And the Whales Inn was just adjacent to Agua Viva, just north of Agua Viva, but virtually in the center of Loretto Bay's 3.5 miles of beachfront. So That property, in fact, both of those properties, the Inn at Loretto Bay, which was the Camino Real, and the Whales Inn, were owned by the federal government, and as was the golf course. So here comes the federal government back in the end of 2006, and they said, "Look, we're gonna sell off these properties. We don't want to run hotels now that development is coming here. We don't want to, bank these properties. So we're gonna go out ahead and put them out to bid, just like a government agency would do here in the States. They can't just go to Loretto Bay and say, or go to Marriott and say, hey, do you want to buy this? They have to put it out to bid. So they did that. They put the golf course up for bid. They put the Camino Real up for bid, and they put the Whales Inn up for bid. Well, Loretto Bay certainly wanted to control all those things, and they were able to buy the golf course, which is very important to their development, and the Camino Real. But there was just too much money involved to buy all three. So an investment group by the name of NG Properties bought the Whales Inn site, the 12-acre site. And at the time, it was an old, pretty well run-down hotel. It used to be called the El Presidente for those history buffs. I still have people that remember it as that. I think it was a clothing optional joint from the stories I've heard. So just a little tidbit there. But so this investment group bought this piece and basically designed and did all the architectural and engineering work on a 201 unit condominium, very upscale luxury condominium complex for that site, where every home would have of course the whole site is a beachfront site. So first of all, you're on the beachfront, and then obviously you have a water view. There's not one home that's excluded from that, which is one of the difficult things about Loretto Bay, by the way. If you get, unless you buy a beachfront, which is very expensive, you often can't see the beach from your home. So it's one of the unique features of that particular location. But anyway, they bought that, did the architecture and the plans, and then decided that, hey, maybe, they could get a hotel name involved. And I really don't know how the connection was made, but somehow either Marriott contacted NG Properties or vice versa, I'm not sure which. When Marriott looked at this plan, my understanding was that they liked it very much, and that it was so good. I mean, as you can imagine, Marriott has very strict standards for its properties, and in terms of the amenities they must have, and the number of entrances and exits, and the fire, codes, and all these kinds of things. And it was virtually built to those standards, or exceeding them, right from the start. So Marriott basically said, "Hey, we love this. We'd love to put our name on it." And they struck a deal to do that under a very long term. I think it's a 20-year agreement. So that's exciting. I mean, one of the things I learned at Loretto Bay when I was there is that potential buyers often have some trepidation about buying in Mexico. And when you put a Marriott brand on a residence project down there, that can take some of that away. And of course, good for the neighbors as well, because you and I feel better about our purchase down there because, there's a Marriott going in next door. So it's all good for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, talking to a lot of the Loretto Bay homeowners, I think that they felt very good that if it wasn't owned by Loretto Bay, that it was such a brand as JW Marriott, and it really spoke to the quality of the area and the type of development that was going to be in place. You brought up a great point about potential buyers and what they need to think about and the trepidations that many have buying in Mexico. And I think right now, with our current economic climate, heard the $700 billion bailout plan did get approved by the House. But still, there's quite a bit of difficulty ahead in the economic times. What do you think potential buyers should think about when they're investing in an area such as Loretto?
Well, I can tell you what I thought about when I did. First of all, I look at a second home or a vacation home as my retirement plan. I look at that, and I look at it much like you might look at a 401k or a mutual fund or something. That's my nest egg down the road. So what I would want to look at is it a safe investment? Which, again, I feel it is. I wouldn't have three properties now in Mexico if I didn't think so. Secondly, I lost my train of thought. Will it increase in value? And I believe it will. And thirdly, the bigger benefit is this is something that I can use between now and the time that I, cash it out for money. So, and you can't do that with your 401k. You can't go sit on your 401k and get sun and have a drink. It's just a piece of paper that comes in the mail, and it's a fund. But this is a retirement vehicle that you can actually enjoy prior to retirement and during retirement. So here I am. I'm relatively young. I'm in my 40s. I have two kids that are still at home, and we can use this to enjoy and you know, share as a family until such time as, you know, the kids fly the nest and then become some for me and Mama, and then when we think, okay, you know, we want to cash this out or roll it into something else, we can do that. But so that's the kind of things I look at is you know, it's my nest egg for later on. The other things I look at are, you know, how easy is it to get there? And the reason I didn't look at some areas in Baja and some areas in other parts of Mexico as well is because I don't want to travel for, you know, 12 hours a day to get to my vacation home. That's no fun to me. I want to be able to go down on a Friday and come back on a Monday if I want to, and I can do that here. It's that easy. And when you land in Loreto, as you know, you're, you know, 5 minutes from your place. So, you know, there's a lot there and a lot for people to look at. But and I think, you know, you bring up a point about people's savings and equity and things like that. And you know, yeah, it does make it harder to invest in something because a lot of people were buying those homes with the equity they had up here in the U.S. And if that's gone away or if that's reduced significantly, they may, you know, want to sit back and look. But I think in the long term, you know, I mean, real estate, you just can't beat it. It's always going to be there. And as we've seen, you know, even banks aren't always going to be there. So, but the real estate, I don't think that dirt's going anywhere.
Definitely. It's amazing the number of large banks that have folded recently. You brought up a good point about being able to get to Loreto easily, and that was one of the things that attracted Clint and I to the Loreto area as well. And it's great to see not only JW Marriott moving in, but also some of the other developments. And it seemed that, at least from the Villa Group press release that we highlighted on Stark Silver Creek, there was a statement that Alaska Airlines has committed to making sure that there are accessible flights going down to Loreto. And hopefully, once we get through this economic crunch and this whole airline fiasco as well, and everything's back to an even keel, we're going to see more flights coming down
as
well.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's strictly economics. And you know, when I bought at Loreto Bay, there was two flights a week on one airline, and that was it. So, and then we've seen that go to, you know, that was Alaska. We've seen that go to five flights a week with Alaska, and then Delta came in with six flights a week, and then, you know, Aeromexico had two a week for a while, and then they were flying, Continental was coming out of Houston. So we had, you know, a dozen or more flights a week for a while, and now that's back down, and for a while it was back to, you know, Delta left and Continental left, and Aeromexico shut down temporarily, so now we're back to Alaska only, and they were down to three flights a week. Still 50% more than we had when I bought, but, you know, not that much. I mean, you couldn't get there every day, but you really don't need to. You're not going there today and coming back tomorrow. So so that's now been expanded to four. So now we've got, you know, you can get there almost any day and back, you know, in a reasonable period of time. And I think you're right that when some more of this development, you know, starts up and when economics permit it, I mean, if people want to go there, they're going to fly there. There's just no question about it. So I think that as time goes on, and of course, we just went through the summer as well, and they do tend to back off in the summer also. So we had the gas crunch or fuel problem. We had, you know, summer, you know, low loads, and so everybody said, let's get out of this route for a while. And now they're starting to come back in as we approach the fall.
Thanks, Mark, for all your insights. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I definitely hope to see you in Loreto. For most of our viewers that don't have your contact, can you, before you have to go, give your contact information? So should anyone want to find out more about JW Marriott,
I'll give you
they
that.
Can?
You know, I had a thought in my head when we were talking before, and then we changed the subject, but I wanted to point out that that for Marriott, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know the difference in the branding, but Marriott owns the Ritz-Carlton Group, and they own 13 different brands, from Ritz all the way down to, you know, Courtyard, that type of thing. And this is Marriott's only Marriott's. This is not timeshare, which they have timeshare in Mexico and different places and so forth. But as far as whole ownership residences, this is Marriott's fourth project in the world, and their first in Mexico. So to me, that's what's so exciting about this is that we have Marriott Corporation, who in all of Mexico picked this little town to put their name on. And you know, for you and me as homeowners in the Loreto area, that's exciting, you know. And I just think that's super important. But anyway, back to your question. Yes, I'm here in the Bay Area, which I think most of your listeners will be. And I can be reached a couple ways. My home office number, which I'm at most all the time during the day, directly is 925-371-0307. And my email is Mark C. It's M-A-R-K and then the letter C at liveloreto.com, LiveLoreto.com.
I want to thank Mark Cottarelli for taking the time out to spend with our listeners here at Stark Silver Creek. This concludes our first podcast. Thank you.